Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better run. Yeah, I predict an earthquake.
Morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Let's see. Today on the radio show, we got Chris Hemmings straight up at 10 o'clock. Before then, Dan Devine's going to join us. Dan Devine, of course, writes about the NBA for Yahoo. And sadly, it is his last appearance of the season. Yeah. Last appearance of the year for Dan Devine. And it was an interesting year because normally, listen, Dan Devine, although he lives in New York and writes about the NBA nationally, he's always been kind of a closet Grizz guy. And this year, there was just less to talk about with the Grizz, let's be honest, for all of us. And so we wrap up another season. The draft is behind us. Free agency is behind us. The season is behind us. The long summer is ahead of us. Or at least a little bit of a break. We got the Olympics, but we're going to give Dan a little time off. Hopefully, he will rejoin us again next season. But we're going to finish with Dan Devine for the year today. So Dan Devine, then Chris Harrington. There is, Jeffrey mocks me when I say this, when I talked about the jam-packed sports schedule, Jeffrey.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Let's see if this counts for anything for you.
All right.
Okay? You got SEC Media Days today? Including Ole Miss is down there. You got LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Vandy. So SEC Media Day starts today, goes through Thursday. You got the Home Run Derby tonight, the All-Star Game tomorrow. You got the Open Championship this week.
Yum.
You got the EA Sports College Football preview
there, now we're cooking, we got
game today. And we got the Grizz tonight. And two more games later this week.
I will say this.
How about that for a jam-packed sports schedule?
The thing that's actually a little bit more depressing is...
I didn't find any of that depressing.
No, well, I was thinking about this over the weekend. Despite the fact that it at times feels like there's absolutely nothing going on, we've actually hit a stretch where maybe the masses don't care, but there's been enough to, like, kind of get you through.
Oh, no. And then we got NFL camps are about to open up. We had a lot of soccer yesterday. Some of it just a total mess in soccer yesterday.
By the way, okay, so
we got the Olympics coming up.
I figured out, you know when you were trying to blame Charlotte for the fans in the stands?
Yeah.
We do, the United States, we are just supplying the stadiums. And
right.
That's not entirely
true. We're supplying the police. We're supplying security.
Yeah.
We're not organizing the police and security.
Correct. And or instructing them.
Oh, whatever. We'll talk about this later today, the mess that unfolded last night in Miami. So there is plenty of sports to talk about. Again, Grizzlies tonight. We'll talk to Dan and to Chris Harrington about that. If you want to have hot takes about Summer League, there are hot takes to be had. You can call Donovan Klingon a bust if you like.
Oh, already?
That seems premature to me.
I like that. Get out in front of that take.
You can call Reed Shepard Rookie of the Year if you like. That does not seem premature to me. Maybe a little premature. You can feel good or bad about Dalton Kanak and the Grizzlies not drafting him, depending on whether you looked at his previous games or his most recent game. So there are hot takes to be had on the NBA front, and plenty of sports to talk about. I did think I'd begin with the events of the weekend, which were, we had any number of celebrity deaths. Which I suppose we might touch on at some point, including a couple with local connections. Shannon Daugherty was born in Memphis. She died at 53 of breast cancer. And Jacoby Jones, who had that tremendous Super Bowl back the 2012 Ravens.
Well, and he caught the miracle at Mile High.
The 108-yard kickoff return and a 56-yard touchdown in that Super Bowl for the Ravens. He played at Lane College, of course, just down the road. I saw Derek Burrow, former Memphis Tiger, was lamenting his death over the weekend. We'll talk about all that. But obviously the biggest event was what happened in Pennsylvania, where former President Donald Trump, there was an assassination attempt, which was blessedly unsuccessful. I guess it's funny. Someone tweeted at me, "Are you not going to tweet today?" And no, I did not. There were plenty of people tweeting on Saturday about it, and plenty of people had things to say about it, and I didn't have much to add. Plus, honestly, I was in the midst of a 14-hour drive back from Michigan. That's how I. How'd you hear the news?
Funny enough. So my dad's 16-year-old baseball team won their perfect game World Wood Bat World Series.
Congratulations.
Shout out to Dad. And this doesn't really happen very much anymore. I don't really usually have news broken to me. And my dad was like, everyone's telling me, like, Trump's been shot.
Yeah.
And so
where were you?
I was just driving around.
You're just driving around?
Yeah, driving around.
You got a phone call. That's
correct.
That's exactly what happened to me. I was driving back, and I was listening to a book on tape or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was listening to.
Podcast or something. Yeah, I do book on tape podcast.
And Claire calls me. We were convoying because we took two cars up there, and she calls me, "Did you hear Trump's been shot?" And I'm like, "What?" And it was that kind of moment. It was obviously an historic moment, one we will remember forever. It could have been dramatically worse. If you've seen the photo taken by the New York Times photographer, it is just a stunning photo.
The one with the bullet whizzing.
With an actual bullet.
It's insane.
Whizzing by his head. I heard an interview with the photographer, and he, turns out he was very good friends with the Associated Press photographer, who was well known for the work he did during the Ronald Reagan assassination attempt. And they would talk about it and talk about how did you, like, in that moment, how did you get the, there is a human impulse to take cover when you hear bullets, right?
I would think almost a natural.
And instead, you keep documenting this. And he didn't know, of course. I don't know. He's just taking photo after photo after photo after photo after photo, right? He didn't know what he had. He did say he called the photo editor and said, hey, you might want to look at those photos because he didn't think he had the bullet. He just said, I think I could have the moment when he's grimacing because his ear, whatever. Sure. And then the photo editor calls back and says, you won't believe this. There is a photo of the bullet going by Donald Trump. And sure enough, there was. And that certainly provides context of exactly how close this was to the former president being killed. Very close. And it was a stunning moment, one we will remember along with, you know, the Reagan assassination attempt. And then way before then, it did occur to me, you know, you think of this and you wonder, I thought about going to the Lorraine Motel yesterday. And you just, like, you look at our history, and sadly, this is not the first time such a thing has happened. We have had elements of this throughout our history. So there are questions, of course, in the wake of this. And I think one that's very pressing and will be addressed, I suspect, fully is the Secret Service. Obviously did a stunning job in terms of, once the shots were fired, identifying where the shooter is, where the shots are coming from, and, let's be honest, taking him out. In that moment, again, could have been dramatically worse had they not done that in that moment. But then, you can't help but ask, and everyone has, how in the world does a 20-year-old, not someone who's been trained as a Navy SEAL, a pimply 20-year-old nerd by all accounts, get that close to the president on a rooftop 140 yards away?
An uncovered rooftop, by the way. It's not like there's trees and stuff around it.
It is a massive security failure. And you read about the explanations, and the explanations are that there is a, within the perimeter, it's Secret Service.
It's out of their quote-unquote jurisdiction.
Within the perimeter, and then beyond the perimeter, I don't know if it's beyond their jurisdiction, but beyond the perimeter, they work with local police enforcement to cover that. I don't know how perimeter. It strikes me that a rooftop that would give you access to take a shot at the president should be considered, however you're defining. Let's not go to a legalistic definition of what's a perimeter.
Look up the rule.
This seems like a CYA kind of explanation. Let's figure out how to keep the former president safe, not figure out whether this is my job or your job. And it strikes
me as
And the people safe. A massive security failure. And by all account, there's a tremendous, I mean, some of the media that was done, I know the media takes a licking here on all fronts, but that photographer did a stunning job. There was a BBC.
It's funny that you mentioned this, because when I got back home, my wife was like, already, so DirecTV has like a news mix channel where you can see like six streams, and one of them, which is BBC America, and we didn't quite have the sound turned up on that specific one, and you can just see like the guy with the visor with the fake hair, like he's just talking. wonder what the heck this guy's saying.
There's a guy who basically said, listen, we were telling the cops there's a guy with a gun up there,
might want to check it out.
And now reports are that they did confront him, and that's when he got the shots. Then saw him with a gun, retreated. That's when he got the shots off, and then he was very quickly dispatched. But that will obviously be one of the questions that will be explored. And then the other question that will be explored, of course, is motive. And, you know, we know what we know. We know he was a registered Republican. We know, but not – didn't seem to have a – you know, no evidence yet of a, you know, tremendous social media presence or ranting about one political thing or another. If you want to know the truth, just from what you read about him, if you had read that he had gone and shot up a school, he's totally that guy. You know, he is just, again,
it's the loner, the profile of all, yeah.
Bullied in high school, loner, picked on, didn't have a lot of friends, sat by himself at with lunch, and had had his dad's, you know, automatic rifle. You know, like it's that's what is the, he seemed like a classic school shooter, is what he seemed like. It didn't seem like he was a deeply troubled, involved, engaged political on a political mission. That's not the profile that he had. The profile was of the kid who you would have heard wandered into a school in Pennsylvania and shot it up, bullied, loner, all of that, with easy access to a gun. That's the combination that it feels like. Again, we may learn more, and obviously that will be explored. And then before we go any further, I did think we should at least mention that someone died here shielding his family.
Yep.
Corey Comparator is a volunteer firefighter, 50-year-old volunteer father who died shielding his family. And so we can, you know, I saw someone tweeted, God doesn't miss, God spared, you know, God spared Trump. Well, what are we to say of Corey Comparator? Did God have an in for him? I don't think so. This was the work of a, whether you call it troubled or evil or however you want to define it, kid with a gun. And this father and his daughter evidently posted a loving Facebook post, died heroically. And it's interesting, again, what we have in all of these moments, we have heroes, certainly in 9/11, we had heroes in the Boston Marathon bombing, we had heroes. When Ronald Reagan was shot, after Ronald Reagan was shot, he was asked about how a sick society, what does it say about the sickness of our society that could produce a moment in an event like that? And he said, how sick could our society produce the Secret Service men and women who saved him, and the doctors and nurses who saved him, and let's focus on the society that produces those people, and not just the folks who do the harm or aim to do the harm. So, and then there's the questions about what does it all mean, and that's for bigger brains than me, and than mine. Just politically, it certainly feels like it means that much more likely that Donald Trump will be the next president. The Republican convention begins today, and it will be a triumphant affair, as the president who lived the former president who lived will be nominated. Will actually be formally nominated tonight, is my understanding. Formally, the delegates
officially cast their votes today.
So it does feel, it feels like it's that much more likely. The futures, the betting markets have priced that in. It feels like the stock market may have priced that in a little bit as well. And you hear reports right now that in terms of Biden stepping away, that is much less likely because no one wants to run against Trump now.
Right.
Profile and courage from those folks, by the way. Mm-hmm. The likely, most likely candidates to replace Biden, were he to step away, again, this is just from initial reports, may be much less enthusiastic about doing that, saying, let's just wait 4 years. So that's, you know, what may be unfolding. Of course, there's a long way between now and November, and so you never know what will happen. That certainly feels that much more likely today. It was already, let's be honest, looking more and more likely, given Biden's debate performance, that Trump would be the president, but looks that much more likely today. History is sort of mixed in this regard. Doris Kearns Goodwin, who's a historian, she was on NPR yesterday, and she was talking about some of this and reminded me that in 1912, Teddy Roosevelt was shot. He was running as a progressive,
right?
In 1912, and he was shot in the chest.
Kept going,
and it was impressive. Trump rising up,
yeah.
Putting his fist in the air, all of that.
Yeah,
Roosevelt was on his way to deliver a speech, and by the way, the reason that the bullets, which hit him in the chest,
mm-hmm.
didn't do more harm, where he had a text of the speech, 50-page speech, mm-hmm. folded up in his pocket, plus some glasses. So he took the bullets, he kept on going, and delivered an 84-minute speech mm-hmm. afterwards. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether you fully understand that I've been shot, but it takes more than that to kill a bull moose.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the Bull Moose Party at the time. The bullet, by the way, just in case you're thinking, well, maybe this is just like maybe he was grazed on the ear, for example.
Mm-mm.
No. Bullet never removed.
Yeah.
He lived the rest of his life with the bullet embedded in him because it was safer to do that. There was some thought at the time. Now, he was running as a third-party candidate.
Correct.
So he wasn't the favorite. That's very different from this context. There was some thought that this might carry him to victory. It did not.
Yeah.
And he was...
The two-party system's too strong.
He was defeated. I contrast that with Reagan. Now, Reagan, when he was shot, it was only 70 days into his first term when he was shot. It was in March. And it's hard to remember back then, although I was certainly alive and well back then. As David Broder, was sort of the preeminent political commentator of that era, said, with that assassination attempt that he survived, quote, he became a mythic figure. He was politically untouchable. Now, some of that is because of how gracefully he handled it. He famously told Nancy Reagan, his wife, honey, I forgot to duck. And then as he's heading into surgery with the doctors surrounding him, he says, I hope you are all Republicans. He did it with such great good humor. It wasn't just the heroic survival of this assassination attempt. It was the way that he handled it that I think helped make him politically untouchable. There are other examples of presidential candidates who've been shot about whom it had a huge impact on and perhaps a really important political impact on. George Wallace was shot when he was running for president in 1972. He was shot in Laurel, Maryland. And in the wake of that, he was paralyzed from the waist down, survived, but lived in pain from then on, was paralyzed from the waist down. He was very famously a segregationist for the bulk of his political career, but some years later apologized for his role in that. When he was electing governor subsequently, he appointed a record number of black officials to his administration, including a good number in his cabinet, and was seemed to have had a profound change of heart. How that was connected or not connected to the assassination attempt, I can't really say. And then, of course, there's been a lot of conversation about the larger political culture, the divisive, polarized political culture, and the need to tone down the rhetoric, the need to be less divisive, less hateful. And there are examples of that. Shirley Chisholm was the only African-American member of Congress back when George Wallace was shot. And she visited him in the hospital. I previously told you about Ronald Reagan and the quote about the sick society. People were saying, my God, what a sick society this is. And Ronald Reagan said, let's focus on the Secret Service agents and the doctors and what kind of society produces those folks. After JFK was killed, Lyndon Johnson and the country rallied to pass some of the most important civil rights legislation in our country's history. And after Robert F. Kennedy heard that Martin Luther King was assassinated, he very famously gave, and I'm not going to play it, but I sent it to Jeffrey, and it's remarkable to listen to.
I've studied it.
You've studied it?
Yeah.
We'll listen to it just a little bit of this. This was after MLK was shot and killed. And this is Bobby Kennedy was given the news as he was preparing. He was running for president, and he was preparing to talk. And off the cuff, this is what he said.
They don't run Martin Luther King. Could you lower those signs, please? I have some very sad news for all of you, and that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are and what direction we want to move in. For those of you who are black, considering the evidence evidently is that there were white people who were responsible, you can be filled with bitterness and with hatred and a desire for revenge. We can move in that direction as a country, in greater polarization, black people amongst blacks and white amongst whites, filled with hatred toward one another. Or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand and to comprehend and replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that is spread across our land, with an effort to understand, compassion, and love. For those of you who are black and are tempted to be filled with hatred and mistrust of the injustice of such an act against all white people, I would only say that I can also feel in my own heart the same kind of feeling. I had a member of my family killed, but he was killed by a white man. But we have to make an effort in the United States. We have to make an effort to understand, to get beyond or go beyond these rather difficult times. My favorite poem, my favorite poet was Aeschylus. He once wrote, "Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart, until in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awful grace of God." What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another, feeling of justice toward those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black. We can do well in this country. We will have difficult times. We've had difficult times in the past, but we will have difficult times in the future. It is not the end of violence. It is not the end of lawlessness, and it's not the end of disorder. But the vast majority of white people and the vast majority of black people in this country want to live together, want to improve the quality of our life, and want justice for all human beings that abide in our land. Dedicate ourselves to what the Greeks wrote so many years ago, to tame the savageness of man and make gentle the life of this world. Let us dedicate ourselves to that and say a prayer for our country and for our people. Thank you very much.
So that was Robert Kennedy off the cuff, hearing the news that MLK was shot. And is pretty extraordinary, honestly. He evokes his favorite poet in the middle of that.
It's also his first public comments about his brother.
Is that true? He's never, he had never mentioned his brother before.
It publicly.
Now, it's interesting because Bernice King, who is MLK's daughter, youngest daughter, I guess this speech was going around yesterday. And she says, she wrote, "This is not who we are. America just doesn't ring true to me. My father was assassinated in this nation, gunned down on a motel balcony in Memphis, where he was engaged in, as a nonviolent warrior for non-discriminatory humane wages. He was killed for working to end racism, poverty, and militarism, which he called the triple evils and which are still perpetuated both in policy and practice by the United States of America." She went on to say, "This is not who we should be." It is true when he says this is not who we are. I don't know. Like, who are we? This is not – I think the point that Bernice King makes that I think is right is this is not who we should be. We should not be Saturday, right? We should not be what we often appear to be on social media. And I guess the last point I would make is that I don't think we are what we appear to be on social media.
Well, I think studies have proven that.
If you look at social media, and it wasn't just this weekend, it's today, tomorrow, the next day, the things you will see and the things you will hear are appalling. Appalling. And I'm not picking out any side here. It's just appalling. But if you go out in the world and you talk to people, like we once did the Daily Memphian did a polls about crime in this city about almost a year ago now. And it turns out that we all agree on all the same stuff. Like, we all agree. Basically, we all agree. We fight over it all the time. But when it comes down to the basic stuff, we all agree. And I think the truth is that if you ask people what they, you know, what they think about abortion in this country, most Americans at this point think that abortion should be legal, but shouldn't be totally free and unfettered up to the moment the kid is born.
Right.
You know, we fundamentally agree. People should be able to get abortions in Tennessee. People should be able to get abortions in Texas, and people should be able to get abortions in California. But there should be limits on it. On immigration, people mostly agree. We should have sealed off. We should have secure borders. And yet we should have a system that allows us to continue to take in people from around the world, because that's that's how this country was built.
That's the concept.
And so I think most people agree about that. On taxes, I think most of us think that no one likes paying their taxes, but we should all pay our fair share. And the rich should certainly pay their fair share. Like, you go right down the line. I think on all of this stuff, I don't think we want to see Russia overrun Ukraine. You know, I think we want to see a solution in the Middle East. That helps Palestinians and Israelis live in peace. On all of this stuff, some of it's incredibly hard to accomplish. But I don't think that if you just go... Here's the truth. I wasn't on social media a lot Saturday and Sunday, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I, it was it. A, do we do we if you're just living your life and going to church or the movies or your dad's baseball tournament or whatever, we don't seem like a deeply troubled country. We are polarized. Our politicians profit, and certainly media profits, the click collectors profit from polarization. But that's not who we are, in fact. On most of this stuff, we agree. Now, we are a society that has allows, you know, there are troubled 20-year-olds who pick up guns in our society. That is a problem in our society. And that is who we are. But I guess I would urge us as we go forward in this season through November to spend less time on social media and more time with our neighbors or in our communities, including with people who aren't exactly like us and who don't always necessarily agree with us. There's lots of people who I see on social media and I see them posting something and I think, I hate that person, but I don't. I see them at Memphis football games grilling, and they seem like perfectly reasonable people who just want in life, enjoy their lives like I do. I want good things for kids growing up in America, poor and rich and like I do. So, sure, fight for the things that you think are important, but live in the real world, I guess, as I would encourage us to do. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Dan Devine in a little bit. Before I would do that, I will tell you that the Frame Corner would be a place where you can go and get anything framed that is of particular meaning and value to you. Most recently, I've been telling you about the guy from Jonesboro who wrote me Arrowhead Collection, Jeffrey. I wouldn't have thought of that. You know,
no, like, I did not have that one on my bingo
card. Of the things to get framed, well, I wouldn't have had Dan Barron and his fishing lures to get
Fair
framed
point.
Either. Of the things to get framed, we have, but he came from Jonesboro because I've been telling him about the Frame Corner, and they're great at custom framing. And sure enough, he goes in there and has a spectacular experience. So whether it's sports memorabilia, diplomas, wedding photos, whatever it is that you need framed and preserved forever, it is the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue. Oh, Jeffrey, before we take a break and get to Dan, we do have Media Days. And Media Days has already actually started.
Yes, Sankey is
speaking. Greg Sankey has been speaking for a bit. He's started speaking at 9 a.m. The order today is LSU, South Carolina. Well, it's LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Vandy today. For Ole Miss, it's going to be Jackson Dart, Trey Harris, and Jared Ivey, I think, are the three players who are going to be representing Ole Miss. And we've got Greg Sankey, the commissioner, talking.
Looks
right
like he just wrapped up.
Now, have you noticed?
So there's been stuff flying on Twitter, but I haven't sifted through it yet.
Are there?
So
how do you feel about the state of Media Days these days? In Dallas, by the way.
Yeah, in Dallas. It's one of those things where if you're covering a team, I get it, but it almost feels like it's outdated, but at the same time,
it's weird. It's you would think in a talk culture it would never be more significant than it has been now that everything is right.
Sure.
But it feels tired. It feels like this was a huge thing once upon a time because we got to hear from coaches and players. Now, I guess we hear so much all the time from everyone that another place to get them together to talk just feels like it. In its own way, it feels like it is like once upon a time, Athlon's and Lindy's and the paper printed preview magazines were the start of
Phil Steele.
And then Media Days was another big part of that.
Yeah.
And mind you, Phil Steele still does a great job.
Yes.
Like those magazines are still out there. But it feels like this is sort of I once used to go to Media Days every single year. I would go to Media Days. I would stay every day. I would write a column every day. It was a big deal. Now it feels, I don't know.
I do think there's one of the problems is everything is so over-covered now. And then now when you throw in the fact that everyone's got a Twitter account, everyone, if someone wants to get a thought or message out there, it's out there. I do think when Sankey speaks at this, it's significant, not in the sense that, oh, like, it is kind of like a state of the, you know, a state of the conference.
You parse it because what he says is what will happen.
It's usually an agenda setting.
Yeah, and his agenda becomes
the agenda for culture war. One of the two.
He is so powerful that if he says, as he has, for example, that the NCAA tournament should expand, even though he was roundly mocked given the SEC's failures early on in last year's NCAA tournament, it will expand. We can agree with it. It's not even a debate point. It's just like, we hear him talk, we see the future.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why, I think that's significant. I don't usually take as much out of when the coaches and players speak because everything's kind of gotten so buttoned up. We've also lost some, tremendous characters, obviously. You know, Spurrier's not there anymore. You know, Kiffin, who can be clever and funny on social media, when he's usually in person, he's usually kind of vanilla.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to wrap up with Dan Devine for the season, and then we got Chris Harrington. And then we got a whole lot more to talk about. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Summer Hoops coverage in Memphis is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
The Memphis Grizzlies select Zach Edey.
Wow.
From Toronto.
All right. Wow.
Purdue University.
I'm watching the draft video of Zach Edey when he gets the call, by the way. It's awesome. The cake literally says, you've come a long way, baby. And he's getting the call and he's telling his mom it's Memphis. And she's like loving it. He's excited. And his mom looks genuinely happy. Like, I mean, she's like, yo, let's go to Memphis.
You're at the Jason and John Show. Weekdays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. 92.9 Memphis.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Mom, it's school shopping time.
On it. Ooh, Target has select supplies like crayons and glue sticks for 25 cents, plus markers for 50 cents.
Next, my new Rockstar vibe means new clothes.
Ooh, totally. These graphic tees are $6 and made to last.
And a strawberry lunch bag to match my sweet personality.
Got it. And it's only $5. Let's get your favorite Good & Gather snacks. They're now at a new lower price.
Best team ever.
When it comes to low prices, Target has your back to school.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, my son's teacher emailed his back-to-school list. He needs crayons and a comp book for every subject.
Okay, no problem. With Staples Hot Deals, you'll find super low prices on hundreds of items for back-to-school.
Oh, now they're saying he needs folders and glue.
You got it.
And markers?
Of course.
Oh, geez.
Can we get a cart? Please.
Save big on back to school with Staples Hot Deals. Right now, 24-pack Crayola crayons and comp books are only 50 cents each at Staples. Ends 8/24, in-store only, limit 30.
Life is fast and furious. Sometimes you need a boost. The Shot Nurse can help with Lipo B12 injections. Increase energy, improve mood and sleep. It even helps with allergies. Or boost your immune system with our Tri-Immune Booster, packed with vitamin C and zinc. It gives your body a head start at fighting off illness. With three locations throughout the Mid-South, we can get you in and out quickly. The Shot Nurse is your wise choice.
Protection you need with a personal touch. The Shot Nurse.
Visit Frontier Western Store today for new shirts and boots. Frontier is your top Carhartt store in the Mid-South. There's thousands of in-stock shirts and jeans. They have the classic K87 pocket tee in every color they make, including new ones just released. Available small to 4X. Want new jeans? Frontier has you covered with super tough work denim by Carhartt. And you've got to check out their selection of Ariat jeans for men, women, and children. You'll love how easy it is to find the size and style you need. Have you seen Frontier's remodeled world-famous boot showroom? It continues to expand. New styles by Ariat just arrived, plus plenty of in-stock proven classics, too. Whether you need work or dress boots, trust that Frontier's the place to come. See thousands of pairs of Ariat boots and thousands more by Dan Post, Corral, Durango, Rocky, Twisted X, and others. And Frontier's pricing is lower than online and chain stores, so you know just the local shop to visit. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Locally owned and operated since 1967.
You know, Kathy, when my friends shop for insurance, they usually say, I am so over this. Ugh.
What they should be saying is, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle.
Kathy and her team are great. They understand your frustrations with rising costs. Reach out and ask them to help you with a game plan to know what your coverage is and why it's important to you.
901-767-7744. Remember, I'm not as cute as Jake, but I'm better looking than a lizard.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop. And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay connected with 92.9 FM ESPN. Catch up anytime with all things Memphis. Never miss a moment on 92.9 FM ESPN with the free Odyssey app. Unsportsmanlike ESPN Morning.
Chris Canty on 92.9.
Jeff Calkins, Jason and John, Jeffrey and Company, The Gabe Kuhn Show.
Gabe Kuhn on 92.9 makes my commute so much better.
Anytime with Rewind. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN.
I love listening to sports in Memphis with 92.9 on Odyssey.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
on Jeff Calkins' show, joined now by Dan Devine on Twitter at Your Man Devine. He writes for Yahoo about the NBA. The Essential Podcast is no cap room. He joins me now. Dan, would you take dramatically, like hundreds of millions of dollars less money to stay in New York? You like New York, right?
I mean, I don't know if someone's going to pay me $113 more million dollars to go someplace else, I might think about it. I'm still trying to get my arms around the Jalen Brunson discussion. I mean, I get the uniqueness of the circumstance, right? Like, this
explain
is not
to people back just because I started out here. Can you tell people what happened?
Okay, so on Friday night, Jalen Brunson reports came out Jalen Brunson was agreeing to terms with the Knicks on a 4-year extension of his current contract that will pay him $156.5 million over the next 4 seasons after this one coming up. And that was noteworthy, not just because it's, you know, obviously the Knicks retained their MVP candidate, all-NBA point guard, but if Brunson had waited a year and, like, played out this season on his player option and then went into the next offseason, he could have signed for 5 years with the Knicks and $216 million, a difference of $113 million. And so the fact that pretty much we've really never seen somebody say, I'm going to take the full max I can get now and forego that huge major payday down the line. We've seen stars take less. We've seen stars take shorter deals. We've seen stars take options that would get them back into free agency earlier, which also this one does. Brunson's going to get a player option on the final year of his contract, and he could re-enter free agency at that point when he's got 10 years of service time as an NBA player, which would afford him access to the 35% of the salary cap max. So he could make something bonkers, like $318 million on its next 4-year deal. There's ways for him to make a boatload of money beyond the $156.5 million that is already a boatload of money. But in the short term, the next 3 years here, he's going to give up about, I think, $37 million that there's really no mechanism for him to get back. And the argument for doing it is, A, I like this situation, and I want the security now. He's a 27-year-old small point guard. Sometimes those guys, you know, one injury happens, and God forbid, you know, things can go south fast for guys who are already kind of working on the margins of NBA size and athleticism. Two, this organization is literally family. My dad's an assistant coach on Tom Thibodeau's staff. Tibbs has known me since I was a baby. My godfather, Leon Rose, is the president of basketball operations and the father of my agent, Sam Rose, at CAA. And also, they keep getting everybody I am friends with to come play on the team, who I played with at Villanova and just like. And then three, I think the argument for it from a financial perspective, like the way this is presented at least, is, Jalen, you know how we just went and got your buddy Mikal Bridges, in addition to your buddy Josh Hart, in addition to your buddy Dante DiVincenzo, and we've paid two of those guys, and we're going to have to pay Mikal Bridges when he comes up for extension, I believe, next summer. If we do that with you, and you are taking the max you can take, now you wait till next year and you don't opt in, take this sort of shorter term deal now, it's going to be tough for us to keep everything together and then still be able to make moves to continue to improve the team, because we're going to be up dealing with that second apron. We're going to be dealing with the structural issues that brings for us. Like, your draft picks get frozen down the line. You can't execute sign and trade moves. You have to match dollar for dollar in every trade you bring in, so on and so forth. So the argument is, like, they kind of made Jalen Brunson a partner with this. Like, you taking less opens up the door for us paying to keep Mikal Bridges, keeping your other guys on board, and then maybe we don't have to, like, jettison Julius Randle or jettison Mitchell Robinson to be able to make some more moves. Whether this is a, you know, unicorn of a case where it's like kind of the only situation a player is that tied into the structure of a team, so like it's not necessarily going to mean that every star is going to have to start taking less money, I don't know. I think that's going to be interesting to watch as it manifests in this new CBA environment. But we've also already seen Kawhi Leonard take a below max deal, Paul George not want to do that, and that lead to a breakup with the Clippers. So I think what this stuff means in terms of each individual organization is going to be kind of fascinating to watch. But the upshot for the Knicks is, Brunson's not going anywhere. They might as well start carving a statue of him now for giving the money back and the way that Knicks fans are viewing him is like, we've got a new Jeter, and the Knicks look like they're at least in position to remain competitive at the top of the East for the next handful of years.
In terms of that, where do you put, are they in a championship window? Are they a contending elite? Where do you see the Knicks?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they finished second in the East last year, I think, caught a lot of people by surprise, and there's obviously, there were mitigating factors to a lot of that. You know, Joel Embiid, with him missing more than half the season in Philadelphia, all the upheaval in Milwaukee. So it was a kind of a topsy-turvy year for the Eastern Conference in that way, but I think the lesson we took, I mean, there's a way to look at the way the Knicks are built now that is, they saw that Boston won with wings who are switchable and shoot and play defense, right? And so, like, we got to do that. And I think there's something to that, but, I mean, the pieces aren't as clean and neat of a fit. Like, yeah, OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges and Josh Hart to some extent fit that. Dante DiVincenzo to some extent fits that. But, like, the Celtics don't play anybody as small as Brunson. They don't play anybody as sort of uni-skilled in that their main rotation as Mitchell Robinson as a center. Julius Randle's a bit of a tetchy fit in that. So, to me, it's more like, the lesson of the Celtics is if your top six or top seven is just absolutely lights out, then that gives you an opportunity to, you know, even if you sustain an injury, to be able to keep it moving and, you know, to keep your style going. So I think that's what the Knicks have done here by bringing back OG Anunoby, trading for Mikal Bridges, locking up Brunson. You bring back Hart and Dante DiVincenzo off the bench. I think Julius Randle becomes one of the most interesting players in the league in terms of what space he occupies for them. On one level, they still made they could have made the Eastern Conference Finals without him if not for a raft of other injuries. On the other hand, I think you saw how difficult it was for them to create offense when Brunson was being swarmed or was off the floor, and that's what Randall was going to be. He was going to be that secondary source of offense. So where it puts them, it nets them out. I think they've built the core of a 50-win team that should be vying for a top two or three seed in the East. I think this is what, for the first time in literally 30, 35 years, there's a runway here for multiple years of contention, because all the guys they got locked in are like 26, 27, 28, 29, and they still, you know, they're keeping that group together with a lot of chemistry and a lot of shooting and a lot of defensive personnel. So I think there's a recipe here for 50 plus wins and sort of consistent contention. Whether it's enough just pure talent to get them over the top against a team like Boston, against say maybe a full strength Sixers team that now has Paul George in the fold next to Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, I think that remains to be seen. But they've given themselves an awfully good shot at being able to do that if they got their main pieces when they get into a series like that.
Talking to Dan Devine from Yahoo, the podcast is No Caprum. Sadly, we are wrapping up after the segment for the year. It is always a delight to have you. As we look forward into the summer, any other transactions hold your potential transaction, hold your interest? Lauri Markkanen going to get dealt? Like, what are you thinking might happen between now and when the season commences?
I think the most interesting, I mean, Markkanen's huge because the main team we've seen connected with him has been Golden State. And so I think there's a ton of interest in, is this sort of the ramp to the next level of sustained competition for the Warriors? What does this mean? Like, is this the Warriors really seriously going after trying to be a contending team the back half of Steph Curry's career? Or is this like you put in the effort but you don't ultimately make the deal and the Warriors kind of still find themselves stuck in where maybe competing for a wild card spot, for a play-in contention spot, or I guess now an Emirates NBA Cup spot, I don't know, whatever we're calling things at this point. But to me, the most interesting one is what happens with Brandon Ingram in New Orleans. I think his name has come up a couple times in the last couple of weeks that we've talked. It seems like there is now, he's in that sort of, I'm not quite a superstar, I'm like a fringe all-star, but I want to be paid like a max guy because I've been a max guy in this league. And he's maybe finding that difficult spot of the rest of the league doesn't value me that way. And so if the rest of the league doesn't value me that way, and there's not, the Pelicans have not shown an indication to extend him that like four-year, $208 million contract, because it's a questionable fit in terms of how he impacts winning with that or with that team. Like, he doesn't shoot enough threes to space the floor for Zion, and he doesn't score efficiently enough in the mid-range or play make enough as an on-ball sort of facilitator to be able to fit there. It's been clunky in the ways that they need it to be smoother. And so what we saw from Zion last season, what they've seen from Trey Murphy and Herb Jones, like, the wing positions seem like they're going to be sort of spoken for there. And if you don't believe Ingram's your number one, then you either got to get him comfortable with being a number two or find some place to put him. And it seems like there's not really a place to put him. And, oh, by the way, they don't have a center. They moved on from Jonas Valanciunas. They have now, they signed Daniel Tice, the Pelicans, as like the minimum, so which is a nice thing for a backup center, but you wouldn't want him to be your starter. They drafted Yves Nisi out of Baylor. I think there's a lot of excitement about him, but that's a young developmental prospect. You don't expect him to be starting off the rip. So it's funny. I think they find themselves in a position where it's like we've got the, this sort of overflow of pretty good to great talent, but we don't have a team that makes sense yet. And it makes me just go back to thinking about Memphis. Like, maybe it wasn't the worst thing in the world to just say there's a giant guy at number nine that we think might fit well with our roster as it exists. Let's not overthink it and take the big guy, and we'll sort of make everything else work from there. The Pelicans now maybe find themselves wishing there was a big guy they could have just taken where they were in the draft and be able to move ahead. But I think that how that resolves itself, is there a market develops for Ingram? Does somebody see him as a missing piece? Sacramento might have been a fit, but then they went and got DeMar DeRozan. So where does he fit? Do they bring him into the season in New Orleans? What's the chemistry look like there? How does the on-court fit look with him and DeJounte Murray? It feels like that's a team that, when everything was right last year, that looked like a top-four caliber seed in the West. But if things sort of fall apart here, they could find themselves down near the bottom of it pretty quickly, because I think the West's going to be a bear with hardly any teams that are easy nights coming up next season.
All right, and last thing, Dan, before we let you go for the summer. So I saw some over-under win total projections come out for next year. And in the West, the Grizzlies are at 46.5. They are behind the Thunder at 54.5, the Timberwolves at 52.5, the Nuggets at 52.5, the Mavs at 50.5, and then they're tied with the Suns at 46.5, ahead of the Kings at 45.5. Does that seem about right to you?
So my first thought is give me the over. I believe that if the Grizzlies have their full complement of guys back, like obviously health is the main sticking point for these sorts of projections with every team, but like we've seen nothing in terms of a regular season model to suggest that this core can't win a ton of games. Questions arise when you get into the postseason, and is the half-court offense have enough shooting? Is there enough versatility in terms of the lineups you can make? Which bigs do you play together? Yada, yada. But, like, that, we're going to pound you inside. We're going to play spread pick and roll with Ja. We got Bane and Jaren Jackson as sort of floor-spreading shooters and secondary creators who now have a ton of reps as being the number one guy based on the way the last year has gone. I think that 46.5, I would go over on that personally, and I'm not just saying that because I want to leave Memphis with a round of applause. But I've got a healthy affinity for the way that this team has been put together, and I've got a lot of respect for that talent when it's actually able to get on the court. So I think the challenge to me is like Oklahoma City, I think, deserves to be in that number one spot. I think below them, there's still sort of a little bit of a burden of proof everywhere else. Like, the Wolves jumped up, and that was a sensational story last season, but they're going to bear the burden of repeating it, sustaining that success. Similar at Denver, they're dealing with the defection of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. How do you juggle your lineup there? The rookie that they drafted, they were really jumped up in the draft to get Daron Holmes, and were really excited about him. He unfortunately ruptures an Achilles at Summer League and is going to be out for the season. They're going to deal with depth issues there. I think that like second tier is going to be fluid, but I think the Grizzlies are going to be in that tier. So yeah, pencil me in for above that. But I think I guess I get where there's a little bit of pause and skepticism on them making the big jump back up, but I think the talent and the continuity suggests that if they're able to get everybody on the court to start the season, they're going to start rolling off some wins.
Well, it's been, I think, 37 years now that you've been on the show, Dan, and I appreciate every single one of them. It's really a gift and a highlight of my week. Thank you. Everyone, listen to the Essential Podcast, No Cap Room. Follow him. You can get him there on Twitter at YourManDivine and read him at Yahoo. Thank you, Dan.
Have a great summer, everybody.
Yeah. Okay, bye-bye. That is Dan Devine. 46.5, you taking the over, Jeffrey?
Yeah, my gut says I think they'll be a little better than that.
We will revisit some of these same topics with Chris Harrington. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.